This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
دع الأيام تفعل ما تشاء وطب نفسا إذا حكم القضاء ولا تجزع لحادثة الليالي فما لحوادث الدنيا بقاء.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ما بعد. A lot of us have a perception of the time of the Sahaba that they were absolutely 100% perfect, like Jannah on earth. And this is actually not the case. The Sahaba were the best of generation, but the best does not mean they were angels. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we speak nothing about their character. But if we have an illusion that the Sahaba never had issues between them, they never had arguments between them, the Sahaba never committed any sins amongst themselves, then how are we going to relate to the best of generations? If you study the books of history, any book, you will realize the Sahaba are human, but they're the best of human beings. Today's brief khatira, an anecdote, reported in Bukhari and all the books of hadith. All you got to do is read and you understand they were amazing human beings. But even in their mistakes and slip-ups, there's so much to benefit from. Beautiful anecdote, emotional anecdote that took place after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, around 30 years or so, 20 years or so, that Abdullah ibn Zubayr was in Mecca and he had taken charge of Mecca. And he was the Khalifa at that time. Abdullah Zubayr had revolted against Yazid, if you know your history. And so he was now a separate, if you like, entity. And his aunt, Aisha radiallahu anha, Khala, because Abdullah ibn Zubayr, who's his mother? Asma binti Abi Bakr. Asma is the older sister of Aisha. So Abdullah ibn Zubayr, his Khala is Aisha. Now, back then, the Islamic State would give stipends to the senior Sahaba. Okay? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began this. Umar then gave a salary based upon when you converted. There was a ranking based upon when you converted. There was a stipend given to the senior Sahaba. And the highest stipend was given to our mothers. The highest salary, if you like, the state, once a year, it was a large amount of money. It's a gift that because of your services, right, this is your gift. So the highest category was to Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. So Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he's taken the Khilafah. He's now sending the money to his aunt, Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha, she is generous. And she gives, and she gives, and she gives. And she doesn't keep the money to herself. So once Abdullah ibn Zubayr sent a large amount of money, and he hears, now he's in Mecca, Aisha is in Medina radiallahu anha. He hears that she has given all of that money to the fuqara. And he feels, I'm giving it to her, not so that she can give to the fuqara. I'm giving it to her. It's her money. Why is she giving it to others? Why should I give to her? So he said in public, she is going to stop giving this money this way, or else I will stop the stipends. You see what's happening now? If she doesn't control, because I'm not giving to the fuqara, I'm giving to her. Now, by the way, it's not his right to say that. Once he has given it to Aisha radiallahu anha, it's hers now. She can do whatever she wants with it, right? Now, news reaches Aisha in Medina radiallahu anha that Abdullah ibn Zubayr said, kada wa kada. He said, if you don't stop, I'm going to stop. Aisha radiallahu anha said, did he really say like that? Did he really threaten to cut off my stipend? Wallahi, as Allah is my witness, qasam billah. This is Aisha speaking. I shall never speak to him until I die or he dies. She gave a qasam using Allah's name. So angry. My nephew, they were very close. By the way, nobody was more beloved to Aisha after the Prophet than her nephew, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. She was called Ummi Abdullah by that Abdullah, almost a son. Her kunya, Ummi Abdullah. Her quote-unquote nephew's son, her, you know, it's her nephew, saying this about me, no way I'm going to speak to him until one of us two dies. Okay? By the way, so much here, human psychology. Firstly, namima, and spreading back what somebody said. You don't do that. You don't do that. Yes, Ibn Zubayr said it was something he shouldn't have said. But it's also a mistake to carry that all the way back to Medina and then tell our mother, why? Why? Be quiet. If you hear somebody speaking about somebody else, why are you going to the other person and say, hey, you know what he said about you? You're going to cause problems and mashakil. And that's why it is not allowed in our religion even to spread the truth about ghibah. Ghibah is a sin. Namima is also a sin. Two separate sins. Right? If somebody says something bad about a third party, you should not go to the third party and say, hey, you know what that guy said about? Why? Why? Be quiet. It's not your business. Leave it between them and Allah Azza wa Jal. Nonetheless, this happened. So Aisha says, wallahi, Allah's qasam, I will never speak to him until I die or he dies. This came back to him now. Okay? And now he became worried. My khala, Umm al-Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha. So he sent one message, silence. Another message, silence. Message after message. And she's living up to her qasam. I'm not going to even respond back. Nothing. He began shafa'ah with other people. Can you go and speak to Aisha? They tried. She refused. I'm not going to speak to him. Okay? Now years have gone by. We don't know how many. Books don't mention. But looking at the historical, yani my estimate would be at least 7 years minimum have gone by. There's an estimate. It's not in the books, but it just says long time. 7 years have gone by. A nephew and aunt have not seen each other or even spoken via message or letter to each other. Nothing because of that qasam. Subhanallah. By the way, how can Aisha have made this qasam? Scholars differ. Maybe she didn't know the hadith that beyond 3 days, or maybe she had an interpretation that for some reason, yani, whatever. We really don't know, because generally speaking, if anybody other than Aisha radiallahu anha, she is, you know, the most knowledgeable lady of our entire ummah, right? Ibn Hajar says, faqihatu hadhihi al-ummah. She is the faqiha. She is the scholar of the female scholar of the entire ummah. How did she reach this ijtihad? Yani, people have their interpretations, but for all of us here, whatever her interpretation, none of us should ever make a qasam to not speak to somebody for more than 3 days. Okay? That's our ruling. Whatever Aisha's ruling, what maybe she knew something. We don't talk about that. Allah knows why. In any case, she said, I'm gonna live up to my qasam. Now Abdullah ibn Zubayr is getting very worried. What am I gonna do? And he hatched a plan. And he approached two of the senior members of the Quraysh, who were also students of our mother Aisha. They're in Medina. He sent them a message. And he said, I'm asking you for the sake of Allah to help me. He's begging them. He is now worried. The reports mentioned he became, you know, very worried. What am I going to do if Aisha doesn't speak to him until I die? How am I going to meet Allah? What I need to mend this. Whatever happened, I need to mend it. So he sends a message to Al-Miswad ibn Makhrama and Abdurrahman ibn al-Aswad. They are both from the elite of the Quraysh. They are respected people. And they are both of those who would regularly sit in the gathering of Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha had a gathering. How did she have a gathering? She had a gathering in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she would speak from behind the curtain. And she would give what we would call a halaqa. Yani she would give ilm, knowledge, a hadith. And so select group, very select. You had to be very select to get to that audience, right? Our mother Aisha has a curtain, the hijab, right? فَاسْأَلُوهُنَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ hijab. Nobody enters behind the hijab. She's speaking and teaching them from behind this hijab. Al-Miswar and Abdurrahman were of those students, okay, that can come to this gathering. And Aisha knows them, and they are respected. And they are both sahaba, minor sahaba, meaning they were children when the Prophet was alive. Now they are adults. You know, 40 or 50 years have gone. We're talking about 50 hijrah. Yani, you know, 30 years have gone since the death of the Prophet. Ibn Zubayr begs them, and even they are balking. This is Aisha, you know what's happened. You know she's not speaking. We've tried. He says, by Allah, you know that she is my khala. I have to have relationship. My khala, I'm going to meet Allah with what? I beg you by Allah for silat al-rahim. Help me. He's literally begging the two. So the plan is hatched. What is the plan? Just get me into the room and let me speak to her one-on-one. That's the plan. So they agree. Ibn Zubayr travels all the way to Medina. He is the Khalifa. He is in charge of the affairs of the Ummah in his world, right? But this is more important to him than the affairs of the Ummah. His own personal relationship with his aunt, his khala, Aisha. He travels all the way to Medina. And Miswar ibn Makhram and Abdurrahman al-Aswad, they meet up, and the two of them with him go to the door of Aisha. And they say, Ya Ummah, that's how they would address her. Ya Ummah, may we come in? She recognizes the voices. She says, yes. They say, Kulluna, all of us. She thought it's only those two. She thought it's only those two. This is how their permission is, okay? This is tawriya, it's halal in the sharia, but don't use it too much, okay? All of us come in, and Aisha says, yes, all of you. She didn't know that there's three. She thought there's two. So Ibn Zubayr comes in. Years have gone by. They have not met. Now, Al-Miswar and Abdurrahman are not allowed to go behind the hijab. But Abdullah ibn Zubayr is one of the few people in the world who can go behind the hijab. We understand why. He is the nephew, okay? His son, by the way, Urwa ibn Zubayr, is the main narrator of hadith from Aisha. Urwa ibn Zubayr, sorry, his younger brother, not his son. His younger brother is the main narrator of hadith, Urwa ibn Zubayr. So Abdullah ibn Zubayr comes in and immediately jumps behind the curtain. Aisha says, who is this? And then obviously recognizes it is her nephew. And he begins crying and begging and hugging her. And the two of them on the outside of the curtain both began crying and saying, Ya Ummah, forgive him. Ya Ummah, forgive him for the sake of Allah. He is your nephew. Ya Ummah, he made a mistake. They're both begging, and he's begging. And the entire room is crying now. They're saying all four of them are sobbing tears because she hasn't seen her nephew that she raised as a child. She hasn't seen him for so long. And he's begging forgiveness. And she is saying, but I gave a qasam. I gave a qasam with Allah Azza wa Jal. Qasam with Allah is a big thing. I cannot break it. And of course, she's allowed to break it, as you're aware. But she felt, by the way, fiqhi point, our Prophet said, if any one of you makes a qasam to do worldly issue, and then he sees something that is better than that qasam, go ahead and break the qasam, give the kafara, free a slave, fast 3 days, give the kafara, and then do what is better. Our sharia is easy. This is called kafaratu yameen. Our sharia is easy. If you gave a qasam in this regard, by the way, that's a halal qasam. Generally speaking, for us, we should never make a qasam that we're not going to speak to somebody for more than 3 days. That's technically for us not allowed. Aisha had her ijtihad. She saying, I gave a qasam to Allah. And Ibn Zubayr is begging her, break the qasam, give the kafara, you know, of the slave, you know, and forgive me. Until finally the three of them convince her that we should have sulh and reconcile. And so she agrees to this, and Abdullah ibn Zubayr sent 10 slaves for her to free. She has to free only one slave. She freed all 10. He sent another 10. She freed all 10. Another 10. 40 slaves she freed. That is a fortune. That's like the equivalent of hundreds of millions. 40 slaves she freed. Not tens of millions. 40 slaves out of the kafara that she had to do. And they had reconciliation after this. And this story shows us, subhanAllah, so many things. But of the interesting things that shows us is that, you know, it's human nature that one word, especially from a relative, especially from a close relative, it hurts much more than from a stranger. One word from a close relative, it pierces your heart. Such that if a stranger said it, he goes, yeah, whatever, what a crazy guy, I have nothing to do with him. But a relative says it, even our mother Aisha said, Wallahi, qasam billah, I will never speak to him. And 7 years or however many years went by, and she lived up to that qasam until finally Ibn Zubayr understood, you know what, I need to do something drastic, all the way traveling. And this shows you the importance of sulh silatul rahim and the importance of sulh. That if a mistake has been made, he realized, I shouldn't have been that harsh, I shouldn't have said this. If a mistake has been made, you have to own up, apologize, and then work diligently to make sure that sulh is achieved. In this beautiful anecdote, you just see the humanity of everybody involved, right? You see how great they were, despite these things back and forth, still it's human nature. You see even the best of people, Ibn Zubayr and Aisha radiallahu anha, being irritated at one another, because that's the way humanity is. Wallahi, every one of us has issues with our brother, our sibling, our aunt, our wife, but we have to overcome it like the two of them did. So my philosophy is very simple. In studying the humanity of the Sahaba, we find a role model in them. We find so many stories we can relate to, and that's why they were the best of the Ummah. Not because they were angels without anything, but because we learn from their own slip-ups or minor issues, whatever it might be, and we understand why Allah Azza wa Jalla said, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us with the Sahaba and with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا من أجبت دعاء نوح فانتصر وحملته في فلكك المشحون يا من أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كون